absolute and mighty praise. It's you that I see. It's you that I see. Sing it out, say.
Beloved, you are about to listen to a message from Reverend Prince Lai. Reverend Prince Lai is the head pastor of Rescue World Chapel International and the lead evangelist of Christ the Healer Gospel Campaign. He has a dynamic teaching and healing ministry with miracles, signs and wonders that has affected and transformed many lives. And now, the voice of Rescue.
Yesterday, we looked at the errors of King Uzziah, and today we will look at his punishment. His punishment. After God blessed him and he changed, his behavior changed. How God dealt with him. But I didn't finish on the errors, so I'll quickly run through them so that I can talk about the punishment. So yesterday I spoke about number one. I only did number one, which was what? He became proud and arrogant after God blessed him. He became proud. So for God, ask for helping, God will help you. Announce it to someone again. For helping, God has decided to help you. But make sure you don't fall into the errors of Uzziah. 2 Chronicles 26 verse 16. So verse 15 told us that God helped him. He became mighty, became famous. He achieved so many great things, like the way you and I are going to experience. But in verse 16, let's all read together verse 16. He said, but when he was strong, maybe other versions can help me. Look for ESV or something. Other version may change the strong so that you understand what he's trying to talk about. Okay, you let me read the Amplified. The Amplified has a way of adding more words. Look at the Amplified. Explain it. Amplified is like preaching. He's preaching to you, the Bible preaching to you. He said, let's all read one go. I want to hear you read it. But when Uzziah became strong, that is powerful man, he became so proud. What is the meaning of so proud? Into bracket, what? Of himself and his accomplishment. He didn't mind anybody, not even church, not his mother. He was himself, his accomplishment. That he acted, are you reading with me? That he acted what? Corruptly. That's why after you've gotten the job, now you're taking bribes. After God has taken you to that level, now you have changed. Now you are demanding huge envelopes from people before you will perform your duties. And he was unfaithful and sinned against the law. Ask somebody, will you be unfaithful after God helps you? Now God can't find you. Now you can't sweep the church again. You can't sing in the choir again. There are people that I know like that. When God promoted them, they've not stepped to the choir again. Not. You know, very unfaithful to God. Very unfaithful to the ministry. He was unfaithful and sinned against the Lord his God. For he went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Amen. Clap your two hands for Uzziah. Clap for Uzziah. This is what Uzziah did. I pray that you and I will not treat God like that after he helps us. Ask for the help. I've told you, God will help you. You wait. Let the man of God come next week. You will see the promises that they will give you. So ask for the thing that God has done. It's not about it's already settled. But you have to position yourself. God should not be afraid of you. Now God can't do what he has planned for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, amen. So this is what happened to Uzziah. The number one, he was proud and arrogant, like we read yesterday. And we read from Deuteronomy 8, 13, 17 that God said that when you have gone to the land that he has now blessed you, he has now increased you, your heart to be lifted up. So he realized that that is the, it looks like that is the unfortunate end of all humanity. It happened to even angel Lucifer, and today he's called Satan. It also happened to Adam and Eve. They became proud. They wanted now to be like God so that they can challenge with God. God will not come and ask them questions. They became proud. They fell. So it looks like always when God blesses people, pride. That's why I taught you how to overcome it. I said, how do you overcome it? Build systems around you that will make you be humble. Build systems. So I decided that even though I've become a general overseer by the privilege of God, Me, I don't deserve to be general overseer. Too young for that. Too small. Not very, very educated for that. Not very eloquent. I shouldn't be in this position. I'm not that anointed for me, for God to commit churches into my hands at all. But because I found myself in this place, who asked me, have you done your quiet time? Who asked me, why are you treating your wife like that? Why, like, who checked me? There's nobody. So I have to create systems. I have to decide to submit under other fathers, even though I'm no more with them, or to submit under fathers that I don't even know, and create systems. People should be able to talk to me. Amen. After today, when I go to my adopted family's house, when I go there and then I finish eating, I'll carry my plate. I'm heading to the kitchen. Then my mother will say, no, what's up with you? See, idea. Who you pick? I said, no, mommy, when I come home, I am a son. I will meet her in the kitchen. She's doing one or two things. I go and hold it. Hey, what's up with you? I said, mommy, let them call me also. But when I come here, I'm a son. I'm a son. Let me feel free. You understand? But I'm telling you, some people are craving for such treatment. But when they are walking, it's like... But some of us are running away from it. Some of us are running away from it. Some of us are running away. When I went to my former church, they introduced me there. The lady who was doing the MC ship, when I was there, she was in Sunday school. She was a small girl. I've taught her in Sunday school before. So she has known me as Pastor Prince. Pastor. So when she was invited, now she has grown. She looks, it's just tough on, but she's a small girl. Then she was introducing me. They said, oh, let's welcome Pastor Prince. But the moment she said Pastor Prince, other senior pastors over there, my pastor's wife was shouting, Reverend, we're correcting her. Oh, I said, don't worry. When I got there, I said, don't worry, I'm Prince. Said, that's the most important thing. It's my name, I'm Prince. It's not the title. We don't work with titles. I got a title, it's not important. Tell somebody, titles are not important. At all. I'm not interested in those things. If you even call me Prince, that even makes me feel better. Hallelujah. That's why I don't have a problem. If somebody who knows me calls me Pa, or that, like, I feel normal. I don't have a problem at all. Because that's my name. All this pastor, bishop, prophet, whatever. It's just you that you are calling, but it's not something I crave for at all. Clap your two hands for the Lord. So that's pride. When God lifts you up, don't be proud, okay? Don't be proud. Don't go about telling people that, have you seen that of late? My name is Pastor. So I'm no more a shepherd. Why are you still calling me shepherd? Something. My mind here. Calm down. Number two. He transgressed God's commandment at will. When God prospered him, he now broke the word of God. He didn't care. He now disobeyed God. You see, in 2 Chronicles 26, where we read from, in verse 4, you see something he did. Those days when God had not helped him, God, he now wanted to catch the attention of God. Bible says that he did right in the sight of the Lord. He did good things. Just like his father. His father also started doing good things from the beginning. He started doing good things from the beginning. But now when he prospered, verse 16, you saw that word, he broke the word of God. The Bible, the word of God has said that the king is not your work. Your work is not to enter into the temple to burn incense. It's the work of the priest. The Old Testament, the work of the priest is to burn incense. And in the Old Testament, incense represents prayer. Everybody say, incense represents prayer. In the New Testament, it is not used because now we pray directly to God. We don't need incense to represent it. But in the Old Testament, they add, but there are still some churches who use incense. But I'm explaining why they do that, because they are trying to be Old Testament. Old Testament, incense represents prayer. So you realize that when we pray, it is added with incense. That's what the Bible says. It's added with incense before the Lord. That's why Catholic and other churches still do it. But it is a spiritual thing. Now we don't believe in the physical aspect. It's just the spiritual aspect that we look at. It's like now we don't go and look for stones to build altar. We believe that the altar of the Lord is in heaven, and we connect it with the church altar, and we lay our sacrifices of money on it. Hallelujah. Okay, so yeah, that's what he's showing you in Revelation chapter 8, what I'm talking about. So when you see a church doing incense, why don't we use incense? That's the reason. Now we are not in Old Testament. Now when we pray, it is a spiritual incense. It goes, and the angels have the incense in heaven that they are doing, like what you see over here. So we don't need to burn incense physically over here. Amen. So the priest was the one who was supposed to burn the incense. Like the way you go to the Catholic Church, you see that they are doing that thing. They are burning the incense in front of the altar. Yeah, that is how it used to be in the days of Moses. They used to burn incense like that. Now, a king is not supposed to do that. Unless that king is also a priest, like David. David had a priestly anointing. That's why he was able to go to the temple to even eat the temple food, because he's a priest. But Uzziah, you don't carry that anointing of your great-grandfather David. You are a king, and you don't operate in that office of a priest. And you know, this guy has been a king for 52 years. So is he trying to tell me that he understands the customs of the land? He understands. But when he became proud, he didn't care. He didn't care about it. And that's how some of you are. Now that you are nobody, you know the scriptures, you are obeying. When some money comes into your pocket, you start behaving like you don't know that the Bible says. You forget everything the Bible has said. You behave like you don't know. So he broke the word of God at will. Advise the one, but you don't break scriptures when God helps you. That is when you have money. Now the girls have come. You know the Bible says that don't fornicate. That shall not commit adultery. Fornication or, but you know. But this time around, you do it. Because now the money is there. The ladies are coming by themselves. Breaking scriptures. That's when you know the Bible has said that do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. It's a scripture. Hebrews. Don't forsake. And Hebrews chapter 12 there about. Don't forsake the gathering of yourself together. That's why we come to church. Today like this, I wish I would not come to church like the way you also wish you not come to church. But I still came. I still came. See that when I preach more, I do this more. God, I don't know when I slept on my neck or something. Okay? And I'm still treating. They said maybe I have some infection in my rib area. So my rib is paining me. But I'm still preaching with it since last week. I even took the medicine before I came. I'm Mosey Club. And some Gibidol. Before I'm preaching to you. Before I'm preaching to you. You think your pastor doesn't fall sick? Yeah, that we don't tell you. Amen. So, me too, I wish I would not come to church. But I just thought about it. I said, if I don't come, maybe today a certain new person may come. You will not meet the pastor. And maybe you may just meet somebody who may not be able to satisfy the person. The person may never come back. I just remember, I said, no. The Bible says we should go to church. We should assemble ourselves. Then I told my wife that just get me some hot water. Let me bath quickly. And I came. That's why I came here in the evening. I've not been here since morning. You see? But I'm still doing the work of God. I'm gathering. But if you were to be, you will not come. You will not come because you won't remember in the scripture. Like you will not even care that somebody will come and he will come and meet an empty church. Only the pastor is preaching. The person will think nobody is in the church. At least let me go so that my presence will encourage somebody. You don't even think about God. There's a scripture that says that gather, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Amen. So it's a scripture. When you become rich, don't start giving us excuses. You know, I have a meeting in Dubai. I have this, I have that. There's no church. 1 month, 2 months. You don't step here. Why? Because of the blessing God has given you. Amen. Oh, amen. Tell somebody, have you heard? So he started out by doing the right things in the sight of God, according to verse 4. But afterwards, after God helped him, he had no more regard for holy things. He could now do what he wants. No more regard. And see, sometimes you think that you can never get to that level. I told you, for my former church, I know a certain brother who the Lord helped. He now became one of the key people that was ministering on the stage. And years after we discovered, by confession, we discovered that he had backslidden, sleeping with somebody in the church, and was still coming. So he has a date with a girl. When they close church, they'll go and have sex. And he will lead a prayer for that service too. And as he's leading the prayer, he has already bought, when he closed from work, he has already bought a condom by the roadside. And the condom is in his pocket. And he has been given a mic and he's ministering. Now, can you imagine the height of disobedience? Now, this is not somebody who doesn't know Bible. This is somebody who is leading us. And he closed from work. Because by the time we closed from church, the pharmacies have closed. So he bought the condom around 6-7. and put it in his pocket. And when he came, my pastor also said, Charlie, lead a prayer for us today. And the condom is in his pocket and sits on the stage. And he's lead, the Lord is to receive. And we're also receiving. Only God knew what we were receiving. So I realized that prayer warriors, musicians, instrumentalists, as we're on the stage, we can do unholy things. And yet when we come, because we are on duty, we perform our duty. Clean. We are used to it now. We don't regard holy things again. Ask the one by you, are you like that? Tell him, you like going to the altar. Are you like that? This, I'm not talking to the Sanquas people. I'm not talking to Sanquas people. I'm talking about those who are always here, from pastor to instrumentalist. Amen. May you never be like that. I'm not saying everybody is like that. I'm sharing somebody's story with you. That does not mean everybody. But I'm saying that we can get to that height. Uzziah got to that height where he didn't now, he was no more afraid of God. To the extent that he can now enter, because he has backslidden, he can now enter the church and say, me, today I'm coming to do my own thing. And take the incense and start doing it himself. Have regard for spiritual things. That's why you see people, they are sinning, their Bible is right by them. He's watching pornography, Papa. His Bible is on his table. The same table, the phone is watching pornography, the Bible is on his table in his house or on their bed. His Bible is just by the pillow, and then he's watching the pornography, and nothing crosses his mind that you are sinning right by even your Bible. I come out with the feel poor man. I mean, would you be deep on any car feel poor? Aha, somebody has given us a good example. See, or the Bible, you can't have chalky phone on. Now, phone in this screen. Tell somebody, God have mercy. Proverbs 8, verse 13. Bible says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. When you fear God, you hate evil. When God prospered Uzziah, he didn't fear God again. He didn't hate evil, he liked evil. May that not be your story. Or may that not be your number three. When God helped Uzziah, he didn't yield to any form of correction or counsel. Nobody could advise him again. Nobody could talk to him again because he had become proud. Nobody can call him and say, Charlie, what you are doing, I think you should do it this way, you should change it. Nobody. Nobody. After you have received the help of God, one error you must watch against is the error of not heeding to godly counsel or advice. Now money is coming to your hands. Your pastor calls you and talks to you that, listen, what you are doing, be very careful. The way you are treating your wife or the way you are going about this, or you are, be careful. You will not listen because now you are a big man. Should not be so. Tell somebody, should not be so. When you start making money, when God helps you and you are doing the wrong thing and your pastor speaks to you, don't be upset. Don't say, when I stop the church, we'll see the one who will give the biggest offering. It's pride. Now that's Uzziah for you. That's Uzziah for you. Verse 19. Look at it. Verse 19. When his pastor came to talk to him, then Uzziah, with an incense in his hand to burn incense, was enraged. And why he was enraged? Oh, no. Let me go to verse 18 rather. Verse 18. Go to verse 18. And they withstood King Uzziah. Verse 17 will tell you the people. Uzziah the priest and other priests. They tried to stop Uzziah and said to him, it is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who have been consecrated. They have been washed to do that work. It's not you. You have been fighting. There's blood on your hands. Get out of the sanctuary because you have broken the laws of God. You have trespassed. Like we said, they break the laws of God when God helps them. The people who are like Uzziah, when they spoke to him, he did not listen. Rather, he became angry. Verse 19. Rather, he became angry. So when God helps you, may we be able to talk to you. Amen. Tell somebody, when God helps you, may we be able to advise you. Oh, you are not saying it. Please tell him. When God helps you, may we be able to correct you. as a member in this church, as my spiritual child, I should be able to call you and tell you that, oh, I think the way you are doing the business, do something about it. I should be able to speak into your life. Oh, it's wrong. What I'm saying? The pastor is controlling the people. I'm not controlling you. I'm not controlling you. I have you at heart. A car will come in. It touches you, it touches me. If you are blessed, you can buy the car a bus. If you are not blessed, then you cannot. So a car will come in. You get the whole thing. So like, I care about whatever you are doing. So you should have a father who cares about what you are doing, who can speak into your life, who can tell you that stop what you are doing, go here, go there, change this, change that. Maybe the way you are coming to church of late is not a good thing. Why don't you work on it? You should not be angry. There are people that wants to talk about their issue, but you try to correct them small. That's it. They feel like they are something in the church. They are somebody. And they have some kind of mentality that when I stop the church, they will see. They will see what? I just say, oh, here, queen. Because you think you are rich, you are the biggest giver. It's a privilege God gave you. It's a privilege. Once you are out, God will raise another. But when I was starting, none of you was there. None of you was there when I started. In fact, the people I had the first meeting with, it's only one person who is still in the church. The whole branches. The people I had the first fellowship meeting with, it's only one person. It's called Pastor Enoch. It's only one person. He cried, he went for years and came when I now started church before he came back. That's how come Jonah and those people overtook him. When we are sharing some history, he doesn't have it, but he's part of the people I started with before I didn't see him again. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So the people I started with, but say you and I want to tune ya. The audacity, and then I will feel it's a win. Pastor Prince is finished. What do you mean? Do you know the whole talk like that? That guy, the one who succeeded in Jacko. What do you mean? Leo Wayne, Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. So that is the story of Uzziah. He even entered into the state where you can't correct him, and he becomes angry at correction. May you not be angry at your pastor's correction. May you not be angry about the correction your own family members decide to give you. There are some partners, once they become rich, their spouses can't talk to them. Like their spouses can't advise them, oh, my wife, do this, or my husband, why are you doing that? But it will not be you in Jesus' name. Later, say, I will not make the error of Uzziah. Say, I will not make the error of Uzziah. Clap your two hands together for them. When God lifts you up, they correct you that are praise. What you said there, you are wrong. You're going to accept it that, okay, maybe I was angry, that's why. I'm sorry, I will not do anything like that. I won't even say something like that again. There are times that you are on guard somewhere. God has blessed you, lifted you. But when your mother talks to you, she may not be a pastor. She may not be the boss in that company. You are the boss, we all know. But when your wife talks to you, listen, we should be able to correct you. Tell the one by you, my dear, we should be able to correct you. Don't be above correction, okay? No matter the level you get to, anyone ever correctable, then the Bible says that any child that is without chastening is a bastard. Do you understand that? That means you don't have father. When we say something, someone is a bastard, it means no father training. So if you are there, nobody speaks to you, nobody talks to you, means that you have become like a bastard. You are on your own. But you are not the one I'm talking about. I say you are not the one I'm talking about. Clap your two hands together for the Lord. Number four, he entered into the realm of folly, foolishness. When we say folly, we mean foolishness. He entered the number four error of Uzziah. What Uzziah did that you should not do is that, number one, he was proud. Number two, He broke the scriptures, the laws of God. Number three, he became angry when they tried to correct him and didn't accept correction. And that is in 2 Chronicles 26:19 when he became angry. Then number four, he entered into the realm of folly. Everybody say folly. When the Bible says folly, it means foolishness. When God blesses you or helps you after these 40 days, don't enter into folly. Don't enter into foolishness. Don't enter into the error of Uzziah. Say, hey, how can you be foolish rather when you have become powerful? Let me explain to you. Let me explain to you. Go there. Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10. It said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. The beginning of what? Wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy is understanding. So when you fear God, you are able to walk in wisdom. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But when Uzziah became rich, he lost the fear of God. We have explained that already. And he started breaking scriptures. He did what a king should not do. He did what he shouldn't do. That means that he has lost the fear of God. And once you lose the fear of God, the next step you enter into is foolishness. Once you stop fearing God, you'll be doing foolish things. Things that are foolish things. Things that are not wise. Uzziah unconsciously stepped into that realm of folly. That realm of foolishness because he became successful. Like Nabal, because he was rich. A man who had known the Lord all his life. Imagine Uzziah. He's not new. He had known the Lord from age 16. Listen to me. If I should do anything to now, which is an error, it is not because I didn't know it. It is only because I've entered into the realm of folly. It is a realm. Everybody see a realm. It is a realm. When I say something is a realm, it's like an atmosphere. It's an atmosphere. When you step into it, you will not know. But the things you will start doing will make you know where you are operating from. It is a realm. It's an atmosphere. It's like a level you have entered into. And a lot of people get to that level without knowing. That level is the level where you know what to do, yet you will not do it. That level or that realm is where you know don't do this, yet you do it. And when people even can tell that, I know the Bible said, but I did it. I know. It is the realm of folly. Everybody say the realm of folly. The realm of foolishness. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus explained to us how that thing works. He says that he that hears my words and do not do them, it is he that is a foolish man that builds his house. That means that to know and not to do is equal to what? Folly, foolishness. Amen. Are you following what I'm saying? So when you know, you have been in church for 10 years. Your pastor has taught you. Don't drink alcohol. It will destroy your lungs. It will destroy your life. It is not the plan of God for your life. It will destroy your future. And then you still go ahead to drink it because now you have money. You can afford Hennessy. You can afford 8 PM. You can afford vodka and all the names. Johnny Walker. And all the names. You can afford it. Now you are surrounded by big men. And now you are smoking cigar. Meanwhile, you are a church boy. You grew in church. You were discipled. You know all the scriptures about what you are doing. But you still do it. You are not ignorant. It's not a mistake. It is called folly. It's called foolishness. It's called foolishness. And a lot of wise people on earth are operating in the realm of foolishness. But they don't know. That is why you buy a cigarette box and they write harmful to your health. Yet, you open it with joy, bring it out, and smoke what you just read harmful to your health. Say foolishness.
Oh, you are glorious, so glorious.
I get what I'm saying? So when a pastor falls, he doesn't fall because of ignorance. He falls because of fooling. The day you hear that I've done something, don't say I didn't know. I knew it. But I chose something beyond that. I considered some maybe pleasure or some benefit, some selfishness. That's why I did it. It's not like I don't know that when I become angry, when I insult, when I fight, it's because even though the Holy Spirit spoke to me or I know the scriptures, yet I pushed it aside and I did what. Now that is what Uzziah did. For 52 years as a king, are you trying to tell me he didn't know that it's the priest that must do this, the incense? He knows. It's not from the day he saw his father, his father's time. His father never did that. And then in his time, for over 50 years on the throne or 45 years on the throne, God was blessing him. He never ever did that. Anytime he goes to church, he just sits down. And when the pastor says, "Get up," he gets up. Pastor says, "Oh, lift up your hand. Let's pray." He does that. And that day, dear, he said, "Pastor, sit down. Me, I'm coming to do the church. Because I'm the king. Nobody can stop me." I'm sure he didn't know. He knew it. He knew it. Tell somebody, be careful about folly. Be careful about folly. It's a realm. Be careful about folly. See, when I mention foolishness, you will be uncomfortable. So I've decorated it. Be careful about folly. My prophesying am out. Be careful about folly. Tell the person, be careful about folly. You like the foolishness? Then when you leave, you say, "I came to insult you." So I don't want to accuse you. Amen. I didn't come to insult you, please. I just use what the King James Bible said. King James Bible said in 1 Samuel 25, verse 25, when Abigail was begging David, Abigail was begging David because of her husband, who was rich, but was operating from the realm of folly. He said that, "Let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this Belial." He's talking about his husband. Oh, he's begging, so he's insulting his husband to beg so that David's anger will calm down. "Let not my Lord David regard what my husband has done, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he." The meaning of Nabal is what? Folly. "As his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him." Say folly. Nabal is his name, and folly. It's like your father has called you Busumpim. You see, if you don't worship idols, what again can you worship on earth? Because your name is Busumpim. If they call you Adia, how will you go to World Cup? Come explain to me how you can go to World Cup if your name is called Adia. You will be in Ghana, bad that you can go to World Cup. Remember when we had a player like that? When they were just playing the pre-season or something, then he broke his leg. He couldn't go for World Cup. Meanwhile, they wanted to take him to World Cup. His name alone is a problem. Jacob's name, whatever. This guy, his name means foolishness. How will he be wise? Be careful the names you give to your children. Amen. Come again. Aha. You see, Amplify says that, "For us his name, so is he." Nabal, into bracket, the English means fool. So it is his name, and foolishness, into bracket, stupidity, is with him. Hey, Abigail. Abigail know how to talk. Amen. But that was the truth. So a lot of rich people are on earth. They are sponsoring Miss Malaika. Miss this. They are sponsoring nakedness. They are sponsoring foolish things. Because see, there's some error you enter into. It's called the error of foolishness. When money, too much money comes into your hands and you don't have the fear of God, you use your money rough off. That's when they buy 15 cars and they drive one for like 2 years before they can drive another. It's like a man who says that in my mansion I have 15 toilets. How many will you use? You are just manifesting foolishness. It's the realm of foolishness. You just have the money, just manifesting foolishness. Rather, you could have just built small house for the poor, so that at least how many toilets till today you go and pull here, tomorrow you go and pull in room 2, tomorrow you go and pull in room 3. Is it not foolishness? Now you have the money, there's nothing you can do with it, so you just waste it. like King Solomon, 1,000 wives. What will you do? That means that how many days do we have in a year? 365. That means that if he comes to have to sleep with you in your room, or if that day you come to him, day one, the time you will come is 1,001 day before you ever see your husband's face. Because he's a king, you can't even see him in public. And also see our hair. Is he not folly? It's folly. So greatness can lead you into folly if not guarded. I get what I'm saying. And that was the error of Uzziah. But I stretch forth my hands over you. You are protected. You are preserved. Guard your heart with the fear of God so that you will not end up like that. Amen. That mystery will not happen to you. It's a mystery, but it will not happen to you. Where you know that what you are doing is wrong, but you still go ahead and do it. Amen. Now, the distraction of King Uzziah, the punishment of King Uzziah. One, he was struck by the Lord. In verse 20, God struck him. Not in a positive way, but God struck him. So when you enter into the errors of Uzziah, you stand the risk of being attacked by God. May God not attack you. May he not attack the same business he gave you. May he not attack the same marriage he gave you. May he not attack the children he gave you. May he not destroy that thing that you cherish so much. Receive it in the name of Jesus. God gave the kingdom to Solomon. God himself came back and said, you, the kingdom I've taken from you. In the days of yours, I will leave only one because of David. God touched him. God touched him. The Bible says, and Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him. And there on his forehead, he was leprous. So they thrust him out. Verse 19 says something. Okay, they thrust him out and hurried them because the Lord has struck him. The Lord has struck him. Tell somebody, God will not strike you. Prophesy to him, God will not strike you. So don't do things. When God prospers you, yesterday and today, I'm talking to you because God is going to help you. You are fasted and you are praying. I'm also praying for you. And other men of God are coming. I know that God is going to help you. But what I'm saying is that after the help, as your apostle, I'm showing you how to escape the end of Uzziah. Uzziah was successful, but didn't end successful. He ended struck by God. May God not strike you. That's a lot of rich people. Look at how they die. They die with sickness. A lot of rich people. Look at how they die. Heart something. Like they have the diseases poor people don't have. Have you heard a poor person who is having a disease with a long name before? When you hear the diseases rich people are diagnosed with, it is tripatrol, something. Oh. The name of the disease alone. Because they enter into folly. So when they are getting sick, they are struck by God. And their sicknesses are not one that you just enter and go and buy codeine and you are fine. Poor people's diseases is what? Qatar, malaria, Apollo, chicken pox. That's poor man's disease. Diarrhea, cholera. That's poor man's disease. But the rich, I should have said some on the internet, so I will mention some for you. They have long names. Long names. And when they mention how much can be able to do it, they mention big name, big amount. Every day they are on machines. May the Lord not strike you. May he not lay any sickness on you. So when you become rich, don't forget God, okay? When you are married, don't forget God. When you have your children, don't forget God. When you break through, don't forget God. Number two, he lost God's presence. He couldn't access the temple again. Verse 21, he was cast out of the temple. He lost the presence of God. When you enter into the era of Uzziah, you will lose God's presence. He will not come to you again. He will not fellowship with you again. He will not talk to you again. You too will not even come to church again. You lose the presence of God. And once you lose the presence of God, you have no divine help. You're on your own. The devil can treat you anywhere. That is why Uzziah ended like his father, because God separated from him. That's why people end like their family, because God separates his help. From beginning, you are doing well than your father. But if the end you will do well, it's dependent on how you handle the help God gave you. Number three,
He was afflicted by leprosy. He was afflicted by leprosy. I was asking the Lord that why did God give him leprosy? Then I decided to investigate about the disease of leprosy. I realized that leprosy is a disease that consumes you. It eats you up. Everybody say it consumes you. When leprosy affects your leg, it will chew your leg till you can't see your fingers, your toes. It will chew. I've been to the leprosarium for donations before. I think I took some of you, those of you who were with me at fellowship moment time. We went to leprosarium and we saw how their feet say nipana chick a chin in a vin in nine. Now yeah, round. A chin inside, a very vin the fingers in that's how leprosy it consumes, say consuming spirit. When God struck him, God gave him a consuming spirit. Why should Ronaldinho be arrested and in prison and he could not pay his bail? Another footballer, Messi paid half, and Neymar, they joined to bring Ronaldinho out of prison. All his money is finished. Because when he became great, he lived anyhow. Ronaldinho, world best player for some time, made all the money. A lot of footballers, check it, before they die, after their retirement, years after their retirement, they are not able to sustain their riches because they have entered into the realm of folly. They waste the money and now you have no contract, so no money is coming back. They end poor. Banks take over their properties and all that. A lot of sportsmen. I follow what I'm saying. And I'm trying to make you understand that it's because of the spirit called leprosy. Say the spirit of leprosy. When God strikes you with the spirit of leprosy, it consumes what you have. If it is your money, it will chew all. If it is your marriage, it will waste your marriage. You see that everything will be waste. It can waste your children. It can, like, anything you pride yourself in, all the things you got, you will waste it all. May the spirit of leprosy not waste your own life. May the spirit of leprosy not waste your life. It happens to artists. It happens to rich men. By the time they are ending their life, wasted. Some popular actors, you hear that they are about to die. They need money for surgery. Money for, say, like those big Nigerian actors. There's the actors. They see that in one month, no money. Meanwhile, they used to be rich. What happened? The spirit of leprosy. When God strikes an Uzziah, he strikes him with leprosy. He makes sure that you will not die without prosperity. It will be consumed. That is leprosy. It consumes. May you not suffer from the spirit of leprosy. It should be one of the prayers you should pray tonight. That Lord, may the spirit of leprosy never locate me. I hear what I'm saying. That's the spirit of Uzziah. It affects Uzziah. It's a punishment. Now, when God was striking with leprosy too, look at where God struck. God struck leprosy on the head, on the forehead. Why wasn't it the leg? Why wasn't it the hands? Why was it anywhere but the head? I was asking the Holy Spirit. And the light that came to me was that God helped him to become the head. So when God was ripping his help, he will not rip it from the hand. He will not take it from the leg, but from where the help came to. Because the grace that was given to him was the head. He became a king. He became a leader. A head represents leadership. When you are the head and not the tail, you are a leader. So God made him a leader. And as the leader, he dominated the whole world, not just Israel. His fame went that people were importing his machines to other countries for war. He became famous. Tribunes were coming with ships. He built ports for business. He was a great man. He had the headship anointing. Bible says you will be the head and not the tail. May that be your story. So when God was striking him, God touched the head. God made sure that he will no longer rule. He will no longer rule. He will no longer rule. He will no longer lead. He will no longer influence. He will rather follow other people. He was stripped of his position. Stripped of his leadership. Stripped of his authorities. Leadership capacity was taken away from him. That's what the leprosy did to him. And I further investigated why the head. And God told me, God, your eyes are on your head. Your ears are on your head. Your mouth is on your head. Your eyes represent your vision. God terminated his vision. Once the leprosy hit the head, destroyed the eyes, God terminated his vision. Once God strikes a man who has entered into the realm of folly, what happens to you is that the vision you used to hold, you don't pursue it any longer. When you were young, you said, I want to do this, I want to do that for my family. When you now enter into folly, you even forget you promised your mother, you promised the vision you had, you pursue it no longer. So for a pastor, when he enters into folly, if God gave him a vision for evangelism, he will change it. By the time he realizes he's pursuing something else. Down movement. He's going down. Because the eyes is on the head and the leprosy is on the head. He can't hear from God anymore. He can't respond to advice, counsel anymore. Anybody talks to him, he will not understand. Because the leprosy is on the head. And the head is what controls the ear. He can't discern. He can't smell. A dog smells trouble, danger. A dog gets direction, discernment by the nose. Our nose is for what? Smelling. It's for discernment. When the Lord strikes your head, you cannot discern. You are blind in life. You will not have direction. May you not suffer the defeat of Uzziah. May you not suffer the tragedy of Uzziah. Clap your two hands together for the Lord. Say, I will not end like Uzziah. Say, I will not end like Uzziah. That happened in verse 20. And now the final one, before we pray, is that he empowered the transgenerational altar of his family against him. Uzziah empowered the altar in his father's house against him. The altar that destroyed everybody. Yesterday I told you that anytime you keep dreaming, you keep seeing your father appearing to you, following you, doing something against you. It's not that human being you call your father. It is the familiar spirit. It's representing the family. That is what brought that uncle down. That's what brought that father down. That's why you keep seeing it following you. And it's an altar. A generational altar. When Uzziah was 16 years, the generational altar had not caught up with him. He was successful. He was great. He was impactful. But when he sinned against the Lord and entered into rebellion, into foolishness, fully, and God withdrew himself, the Bible says that, and the altar, or you realize that his life turned out just like his father and his grandfather. His grandfather, Joash, was destroyed by God. His father, Azariah, was destroyed by God. He too, even though God decided to spare him by picking him up very early, he still got wasted in his end. How you end matter than how you began. Tell somebody, how you end matter than how you began. Today you may be winning against the altars of your family, but next 20 years may you still be winning. Today you may be breaking the limits your father could not break, but next 40 years may you still be winning. May the altar that destroyed your aunties never catch up with you. May the altar that destroyed your mother never catch up with you. May the altar that destroyed your father never catch up with you. If you repeat the errors of your family, the altar of your family will be empowered against you, even though you are a redeemed of the Lord. That's why we have born again people, tongue talking people, and like their father, and like their mother. They don't marry to you, don't marry. They are married, fail it, you are married, fail. They don't have children when they have weddings. You have children, you don't have children, God has wedding. They fail. They become drunkards at their latter years. You to become a drunkard at your latter year. Something happened to them and they are destroyed in life. You to something happens to you and destroyed in life. When you talk to them, they will tell you their history. The money you are making, they used to make. The places you are entering, they used to make. The crowd you are pulling, they used to pull. The church you are doing, they used to do. The places that the kind of beauty thing you have, she used to have. But today, where is your father? It will give you a clue of what the altar wants to end you. Today you are in your 20s. You are in your 30s. Don't be fooled. There's an altar you are still contending with. Open your eyes. Please speak to your mother to tell you how your father's behavior was. Please speak to your uncles to tell you how their brother was. Please speak to your mother. Speak to your father to find out how your mother's behavior was. Please speak to your aunties to find out how your mother's behavior. Speak to people who know your family. Let them tell you how your family members behave. And guard yourself against the things they tell you. Because those were the things that empowered the altar against the family. The way your aunties ended, you shall not end. The way your father ended, you shall not end. The way your uncles ended, you shall not end. But don't empower the altar. The errors of Uzziah empowered the altar of his father against him. And he also ended up destroyed like his father was destroyed, even though God saved him early. This is my prayer, that God will save me in the next 20 years against the altar that stopped my father's ministry. You too, make it your prayer that God should empower you not to repeat the errors of your family members, so that the altar in your family will not be empowered against you. The altar will be powerless if you don't do the things they did. But the altar will be powerful if you do the things they did. It will have power over you. May God have mercy. Clap your two hands. Rise up to your feet.
Beloved, thank you for listening to this message by Reverend Prince Lai. If you have been blessed by this message and have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, kindly say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died that I may live. Please forgive me and wash me with your blood. I believe I am a child of God. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you have said this prayer, know that your sins have been forgiven and you are now a new creation. We invite you to worship with us on Sundays at Odoko, adjacent Best Point Savings and Loan, Odoko Market. For more information, please call 0543-248-982 or 0241-372-895. God richly bless you.